Isn't this a sports show?
See, Spagnuolo is a gift to the human race. Really, to all the whole planet altogether. I bet animals would love Spags also. Mm-hmm. Actually, I know that's true. He's already friends with the honey badger. He's basically Cinderella.
Almost entirely.
I'm trying to imagine how that would go.
I actually am right now, yeah. I am, and it's awesome.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
What is that, a glass slipper? Is that for my left foot? Or my, is that going to fit on my foot?
The mall was yesterday.
Wait, what time do we have to go home? What, is it midnight?
Oh, is it? Listen,
what time is it?
Well, good morning, guys.
Wait a second, is that turning into a pumpkin? What time is it, a.m. or p.m.? Midnight and noon.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, tell me this horse was a rat?
This horse, wait, what? The horse is a rat?
Why is it wearing your shirt?
What's going on with the horse and the rat? Where's my honey badger?
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810WHB.
It took us a little while to get to exactly where we needed to be, sort of vibe-wise, heading in to a playoff game here for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's been a weird week. We've talked about that at every turn. We've talked about the fact over and over and over again that it's been a weird week. But it has been. We're here now. I think we got a real certified club banger for you today here on Almost Entirely Sports. I'm Joshua Briscoe. He's Rudy Salazar. Say hi, Rudy.
I'm super excited about this show. I actually think it's going to be one of our better shows in a while.
That's bold. Bold stances that sounded a little bit sarcastic like that last time
no,
but this is genuine.
Sorry. This is genuine. I think this is going to be a very good show. I mean, it's playoff time.
It's playoff time. We got good bleep lined up, and we've got two of my genuine, like, I'll let y'all in a little secret. Anybody that we have on frequently, I genuinely enjoy talking to. This might be very inside radio, inside the show, but personally, for me, I like talking to Rudy, and I don't feel like we always have to have 1,000 guests, so the guests that we have are people that I genuinely really like talking to. That's true for all of our recurring ones, and really, I think it's true for all of our one-off ones, except for that one guy at Radio Row who we didn't get along with each other.
Christian Foria.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of Tucker, I would say. Now, which Tucker, I'll leave the listener to figure that one out. Also, the two Tuckers fight it over.
Now, that's a joke about Rudy calling Jordan Tucker,
yes.
Which actually took me a minute to think of who our other Tucker was.
Yep.
But they
I'll let the Tuckers figure that out.
They can figure out who's going to be Tucker Supreme. Yeah, so anyway, to that end, that's the precursor to this.
I think that's the new Marvel movie coming out,
the
Tucker Supreme.
Tucker Supreme?
It's Doctor Strange 2, Tucker Supreme.
If that's not the actual title when it's all said and done, it will be a Disney Plus TV show within 5 years.
And for the nerds out there who understand kind of the joke up, Doctor Strange's nickname essentially is Sorcerer Supreme, Tucker Supreme.
That's how I came up with it.
Wow, I'm glad you've explained.
And it's also the next Marvel movie coming out, so it's like, oh, this works.
I'm glad we've explained both of your jokes today, because I didn't understand either one of them first.
You know, they say the best joke is a joke you gotta explain.
It's always funnier after and as it's explained. Oh, by the way, did you guys see Darwin Thompson's back?
Who?
D-Train, baby.
Yeah, I did.
D-Train, baby! Anyway, I'm gonna
Funny part was, I saw somebody, like, tweet yesterday. It was somebody, not even somebody who I followed, just somebody retweeted some random person saying, the Chiefs just signed Darwin Thompson.
Yeah.
And hey, the guy got his wish.
Hey, look, I'm down with it. I always really liked Darwin Thompson. But anyway, I'm like, oof. We're off track. The reason that we have good energy today. One of the reasons that I'm excited about the show today is because we're going to have two of my favorite people to talk to. We get our hour to end out the week with Mick Schaefer of KSHB 41, and I do know that Mick is coming with material today.
He texted us last week, I think literally within a minute after, or not necessarily after the show, but once he left.
As he left.
Like, I have something for you guys that, like I make something every year, should I bring it? Or, like, obviously.
Yes. So, this is exciting because we're gonna get something from Mick we're gonna get something from Mick. What else could you possibly need to know? So that will be fun. And then that will be at 9 o'clock, last hour of the week, per usual. And at 8 o'clock, we're going to talk to our dear friend Brooke Pryor. You know, you may know her from her work with the Kansas City Star covering the Chiefs here. And then she went to the company made of four letters and is covering the Pittsburgh Steelers for...
D-A-Z-N?
ESPN, actually. Ah. The other four-letter network.
The smaller, more the startup four-letter network,
for
I would say.
HBOM, short for HBO Max. For D-I-S-N, D-I-S plus.
D-S-N plus. D-S-N-Y. Disney needs to rebrand to D-S-N-Y.
If they would, if the streaming wars would have started in like 2009, the streaming service absolutely would have been called DSNY, absolutely. But Brooke is now covering the Steelers for ESPN. She has been for a while, but that's why she's relevant to the team we're talking about this week. So. I'm always really excited to talk to Brooke, and we'll talk to her about, I'm sure, all sorts of things, including the Steelers, and if there is going to be a place for them to be able to make a run at the Chiefs this weekend. Because this is, I am a broken, shattered record on this at this point. I understand that. But, like, every person that we've talked to this week has, I've said, hey, you know, what can the Steelers do? What can the Steelers do to make you nervous? What chance is there that they will actually do something of substance here? No one seems to really believe it. So I am genuinely super interested to see, because Brooke's smart about football and also is in Pittsburgh. I'm really interested to find out if the vibe in Pittsburgh is different than it is here. Obviously, they've got the whole Big Ben farewell tour, potentially the last stop. They've got all of that coming into this week. So we'll talk to Brooke at 8. Mick at 9, and we got a bunch of audio that I can promise we won't get through all of. We just got a bunch of clips from the last few days, some that we haven't gotten to, some from today that I would like to get to. We'll take that as we go. Here's the other thing. Here's the other reason there's some new energy in the studio right now. A few hours ago, we got new chairs.
To be fair, I've had a new chair for like a month.
And your new chair is a different new chair than these chairs are?
This is a very... Some people may have noticed it. If you haven't, I'll switch over. It's just it's more of your normal computer chair. You know,
mesh back, like mesh, which is back. Cool. Sure.
It's got like a little back supporter. You know, it's kind of your typical, not fully gamer chair, but it's kind of like a hybrid between your office gamer chair, right?
That's
more
very similar.
Like,
that's very similar to the one that I have at home. Mine also has a mesh bottom. Mine's
very
all about airflow.
Chair.
I do like that. But the one you got in there is great. The ones in the studio, however, are like if your average leather desk chair and a Lazy Boy had a torrid affair, and this is what popped out 9 chair months later. Like, I'm a little surprised that it doesn't have a little foot thing that kicks out, you know, a footrest or whatever. It's basically the only thing it does. It's just, it is a big chair. It is cushiony. Currently, right now, I have not brought, I usually lower the chair because I like to be able to put my elbows on the desk, and it sometimes keeps me from hunching over and ruining my back, but not always terribly successfully, but right now what I've done is just sort of abandoned the desk. And in fact, Rudy, if I sit all the way up on the Facebook, it cuts off the top of my head because I am rising above right now. Sit back in the chair all the way up. I feel powerful. I feel like I could preside over a law case, you know, as a judge. Or I feel like I could definitely. I'm doing sports Saturday tomorrow morning. If at 10 o'clock tonight I'm not feeling like I want to drive home, I feel like I could actually take a nap in this chair pretty comfortably. I'm hoping that doesn't come back to bite us at some point, you know, a late summer night. Maybe Josh is a little sweepy. Maybe this chair's too comfortable. I don't know. I'll do a standing segment then. But right now I got a powerful energy. The only thing that I'm trying to figure out, this is going to be, I'll report back throughout the show and throughout the next couple of weeks, I'm sure. The other reason I lower the chair some... I'm 5'10"-ish. I'm not an incredibly short man. But the other chair we had, I like to lower down and be able to fully plant my feet, you know, and just sort of, this is a problem Rudy's never had. Like, this is not an issue that...
Pretty much any chair I sit in has to be raised to the very highest level.
Right.
Otherwise, I feel very uncomfortable because my knees are a little or like higher than my hips, and I don't want that.
Yeah, that's not a problem that I have. I'm fine with how tall I am.
If you are not average, you're slightly above average.
Like an American average male height, probably.
No shame in it. Is it as good as me? Of course not.
Right.
Is it good as being at least 6 foot? Absolutely not.
No, it's true.
Certainly, you know, you're less of a man.
That's right.
It's safe to say.
Less of a person.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But it's not that big of a deal. I mean, you're basically 5'6".
So, you know, I'm not super insecure about it, you know? It's fine. As long as nobody makes it a big deal in front of all my friends listening right now. But I would lower the seat down, and then, you know, you can plant your feet and get yourself a good posture. I'm just trying to get my back a little bit less bendy, both here and mostly at home, because, you know, I'm in this chair 3 hours at a time, you know. But right now I have it the whole way up. I feel powerful. I feel like I'm well seated into the chair. I do not have it leaning back. If I lean back, it will lock into place. It feels great. The first person that breaks this mechanism in this chair will get a scolding from me.
2 weeks.
These chairs take a beating. There are some big people who sit hard and sit often and a long time in this chair.
No
right?
chair is meant to have somebody in it like 12 hours a day.
Literally 12 hours or longer.
Or longer. And our chairs generally have somebody in them for like 12 hours
a
day or longer, depending on everything.
And we've just, you know.
Sometimes you're hurrying back into the studio.
That's what I was going to say.
You're getting into it quickly, right?
Yeah.
You have quick movements in them.
My concern is that I'm going to be the one that breaks the chair.
Well.
I'm going to try really hard not to. But I'm worried about it.
I assume Beards will break this chair.
Yeah.
The chair that me and Beards. Me and Beards wanted this chair, for this room is perfect because it's just those chairs would be too big.
Big chairs.
And also,
but here, I feel like a king in a throne.
The kind of chair that we have is like better for like when you have a board up on front, right? Like a desk where you really need to be more up and kind of on it. Where those chairs are perfect for the studio where you have more room, you can lean back a little bit. There's a little bit more.
Should I lean back? Should I lean back just to see what it feels like?
Do it.
Okay, hold on.
It's Friday night.
Here's the other thing, by the way, nobody's
here.
My shortness.
Except for Curtis.
My shortness notwithstanding.
Be a little
Curtis is the only one that sat in this chair so far, by the way. I'd like to get Curtis's thoughts at some point.
That's true.
Here's the other thing. The point of me mentioning how much of an Oompa Loompa I am, apparently. Is that right now, my feet are dangling off of the chair, and I do feel a little bit like I'm here to see Santa, you know? Feel a little bit like I'm on Santa's lap, asking him for an Xbox for Christmas. He's like, son, have you heard of the microchip shortage? I'm sorry, Santa.
I was about to make that same dumb joke.
We gotta spend less time together. Okay, I'm gonna lean back, and then we're gonna talk about Chiefs Steelers. Oh, hold on, that did not fully unlock it. This might be, Oh, it did fully unlock it. This thing is spring-loaded. You can push your way back, but watch what this does. Ready? I'm going to make noise the whole time. You can hear me get closer to the microphone. It's a Doppler effect. Ready? I'm back up again. This is springy.
Yeah.
This chair rules.
It's a good chair. They're very good chairs.
I don't think I could fit it in my car, but I might. I probably get it on top of my car.
We have an extra one back here.
There's a fourth one back in that corner.
And there's a fifth one back in this corner.
Oh, yeah. That is the same one.
It is.
I like this chair.
It's a good chair.
Three great comments from three of our beloved Twitch mm-hmm. chatters. Really a big fan of all of these. Love the fact that both Aspen and BTM both asked how long is one chair month. And I was honestly hoping no one would ask. I just thought if I could say 9 chair months later, everyone would let it go.
Yeah.
Two of you decided not to be cool about it. I don't know.
Is it about the same as a dog year?
I really thought we were going to talk about Chiefs Steelers in this segment. And I'm Googling, how long does an office chair last? Between 7 and 8 years. Cool. Let's say 8 years is a chair life, and we'll say that a human life is 80, just for the sake of these round numbers. So it is a 1-to-10 ratio for years.
Yeah.
One chair year is the equivalent of 10 human years. And these chairs in here have some hard living, as previously discussed. These chairs are filled with bodies frequently.
They think you may think it's a glamorous job, but it's like the elves up in the North Pole. Everybody thinks that it's a great job, but right. They're making toys year round. It's rough.
That's a hard job. So these chairs are elves? With these
basically. And we're just all Santa Claus. Just handing out gifts to all the good and bad boys out there.
The gifts with no microchips.
With no microchips, because we don't got any.
And then Ice Pyro just said in all caps, Josh is not short! Thank you, Ice Pyro. Appreciate that. I'm shorter than you!
Tall?
What?
Ice Pyro's pretty tall, right? Didn't we meet him once? Like, I mean, I know we met him, but...
I don't remember how tall.
If I remember right, Ice Pyro's a pretty tall boy. But I'm pretty sure Ice Pyro's got, like, some 6'2 height to him. Maybe taller. Maybe 6'3. I might be selling Ice Pyro short.
Literally. It is going to be hard for us to move on until we get confirmation from Ice Pyro that this meeting happened, that he is who you think he is, and his height.
Yeah, we met at a... who the heck
he did, said, LOL, we have never met.
Who
Thank
did
you,
meet?
Ice Pyro, because
did,
I was sitting here thinking that I was the bleep hole.
At the sporting game.
We've been to a lot of sporting games.
The only one we went to this year where the magnet wouldn't stick to the vehicle.
Yes, I remember now what you're talking
did
about.
Did we not meet Ice? Was it not Ice Pyro?
He says no.
And Ice again, Pyro, I think we met you at a sporting game. Who am I thinking of then?
He says he's 6 foot flat.
If it wasn't Ice Pyro.
Thank you, Ice Pyro.
Thinking of.
I don't know, but I was really just trying to power through
was
and then get to break.
Torch? No. I don't think he lives in this area.
Oh, yeah. No, we absolutely did meet someone at the sporting
game.
Yeah.
Met somebody who, like, is on our Twitch.
Yes, you're 100% right. Now, BTM says that he's 5'6", and so I'm assuming that everyone here is male, and that is unfair of me.
I'm sorry, Ice Pyro. I could have sworn it was you. Maybe it was Human Torch.
Ice Pyro said they called him a post-game show once. I remember that.
Ice Pyro lives in West Texas, so it definitely wasn't him. Maybe I'm confusing Ice Pyro and Human Torch. Maybe it was Human Torch who we met.
This show sounds insane.
The guy who lives
out
of town.
BTM says they're 5'6", so I feel Josh's pain. And again, I'm not 5'6", but I do feel like it's unfair that Rudy used being 5'6" as an insult. And so we will rally against.
I'm sorry, BTM.
We'll rally against the. We'll rally against the cruel man that is the cruel giant. That is Rudy. Also, Aspen has said everyone is male. False. I don't know if that means that Aspen isn't. Maybe it does, or maybe they just are confident that there's a non-man in our chat. But I'm saying I don't believe that to be true.
On our Twitch chat.
Yes. Yeah. Our Facebook.
Every now and then you get
Facebook is. But also, you can see people's faces though.
Yeah.
You know, if there's somebody named Nancy.
We know.
I'm going to assume. You know. I'm probably going to assume the pronouns at risk of being
also
an idiot.
Also based off the picture that we see.
Also true. I don't remember which one. I feel like there was something that... Oh, the Ice Pyro thing. And then we're going to talk about Chiefs Steelers and also how good these chairs are. I'm slouching though. I'm using this chair as an excuse to fix my radio posture. You were saying we met Ice Pyro and he was super tall.
Mm-hmm. But we did not, obviously, because he lives in West Texas.
By the way,
he's lying to us.
Tucker definitely came to that sporting game.
Yes.
You're not thinking of Tucker, right? Okay.
Yeah, it's not Tucker. Not Tucker.
Tucker is not exceedingly tall. I would not call Tucker short either. I just want to make sure you weren't thinking of Tucker.
Not the real Tucker.
So
also, because real Tucker was there, but Tucker, other Tucker was not there.
You were describing this time that we met Ice Pyro, and I was sitting here feeling like a real jerk. Because I was like, I think I would have remembered that, but I really don't remember that. And you hadn't mentioned the sporting game. I was thinking, man, okay, I guess. I mean, Rudy seems pretty confident, and you know, how often is Rudy confident and wrong?
Often. Pretty frequently.
Yeah.
Also, Ice Pyro says Tucker is his dog's name, so we have three Tuckers now in the fold. I really like one Tucker. One of those Tuckers is a very good boy.
Hey, who is it that keeps tweeting us pictures of their dog during the show?
Ice Pyro.
I know. That was a joke.
Ah. I thought maybe you were genuinely confused.
No. That was a dig. I've lowered my chair by a little bit. Okay, chair's on the lower setting, and I do
now
have my
real short.
I wish I could lower it all the way to the ground just for one Twitch video shot. No, I'm not. I fixed the camera, Rudy. I was slouching.
You'll be back slouching in a second.
No, I am. My mind is strong. My spine is lengthened. My core muscles are strong.
My spine is definitely not strong. Got a lot of spine problems over here.
I'm going to stay in this healthy back position until the commercial break, when I will inevitably get up to go to the bathroom or whatever, and then come back and immediately turn this chair back into the lazy boy that brought it, helped bring it into this world 9 chair months ago. We might as well take a break now and then come back with more Chiefs Steelers stuff. Again, Brooke Pryor of ESPN at 8, Nick Schaefer of KSHB 41 at 9. A lot of audio, and I do think there are some places where this game gets a little bit more interesting. I'm sure Brooke will have some on that front. But also where I am at on this game, I might be able to play a contrarian a little bit. I'm not sure I'm going to believe everything that I'm going to say, but I'll give it my best shot whenever we come back.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Let's take a break. I don't think this hour is getting salvaged. This hour is going to be really disappointing to everyone who is like, oh, he did a show with Bobby Bell and Bill Moss. I bet that's really interesting. I wonder what else he did tonight. And then it's just a long, I mean.
Something else,
man.
It's just a Venus flytrap.
A what?
A Venus flytrap.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, look at all this normal Chiefs talk we do with interesting Chiefs players. And yeah. Then just, it's they fly inside and snaps closed, and they're trapped here now. It's Almost Entirely Sports. They're trapped here.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I got a tweet from Chandler Wallander on Twitter. Big talk here coming from a guy named after a Friends character. So wait, at JB Briscoe, you're 4'18", 4'18". Thank you, Chandler. What I want to do this segment is each. In fact, Rudy, if you want to go first here, I'll even let you open up the door, because I'm gonna go a little bit. I'm gonna go a little bit big brain, but I know kind of where you're headed now, and I like the angle of it. I want to do the thing that I've been asking everyone else to do, which is build the case for the Steelers pulling the upset here. Not that this is something you genuinely believe, but what it looks like in a world where this game is at least really close at the end. And I think we've both got different angles on it.
To a degree, the best comparison of a game we've seen it in might be kind of like the first game against the Chargers. Now, it's slightly different in the sense that the Chargers' defense, I don't know if it was good as much as the Chiefs just were making some dumb mistakes / some unlucky mistakes that led to Chargers turnovers. But I think it's Pittsburgh's best players, who are generally on defense, T.J. Watt, Minkah Fitzpatrick. And they have other good pass rushers on that team. The funny part is I have not watched a ton of Pittsburgh, so I can't remember some of the other T.J. Watt clones' names, who all look like T.J. Watt, who had very good games against the Browns. But it's Joe Hayden, Minkah Fitzpatrick, it's T.J. Watt causing havoc, which they can do, especially Minkah Fitzpatrick and T.J. Watt. Those two are incredible players who are not just good at their job, but are legitimate playmakers, right? Like, you can be a very, like, I think Charvarius Ward's a good corner.
Did you mention Cam Hayward, by the way?
Yeah, Cam Hayward.
He gets washed over because everyone sees T.J. Watt, rightfully.
And like, Charvarius Ward, I think, is a good corner. I don't know if I would necessarily call him a playmaker, right? He doesn't, like, necessarily pick off passes and stuff. So you can be a good player at your position and not necessarily a playmaker. Minkah Fitzpatrick and T.J. Watt are playmakers. Like, they force turnovers. And the best way to stop the Chiefs' offense is to essentially eliminate a possession, right?
Yeah.
Even though technically, if you turn the ball over, you still had a possession, you can kind of look at that as that possession didn't happen.
Yes.
Because it ended early based off a mistake that you made or a play that the other team made. I think the reality is, I think that scenario could happen where T.J. Watt makes plays, where Minkah Fitzpatrick makes plays, and the Chiefs still win. Because I ultimately, this just comes down to Ben Roethlisberger, and it's just the lack of faith in their offense, really. But that is the scenario, I think. That is Pittsburgh's best chance of winning, is you need your best players, your best playmakers, to make plays.
I really like that as a as a clip we can go back on Monday or Tuesday or whenever we have a show next week if this game goes horribly wrong. I think that will age well if this goes poorly for the Chiefs.
And I'm really interested to, we kind of mentioned in the break, to see how Andrew Wiley handles TJ Watt.
Because yeah.
Andrew Wiley's been good. Since he has taken over the right tackle job, I think the game in which he came in, he struggled. Makes sense, though, because like you're coming off the bench, right? Like you haven't had any reps all mm-hmm. throwing. So it makes sense that you would have struggles coming in. Since then, Andrew, you rarely hear Andrew Wiley's name. Has he given up a sack here or there? Sure. Right? Has he been beat? Sure. Because that's just going to happen. You're going to get beat sometimes. You're going to give up sacks. But for a guy who I did not want on the team after his Super Bowl performance last year,
I thought he was going to get cut or traded.
He has played really well.
Yep.
And this is a big test for him. Like yep. TJ Watt, and again, like Pittsburgh is very, like they have a good front seven. It's not just going to be TJ Watt he goes up against. It will be, that's going to be obviously the big weapon he goes up against. TJ Watt normally lines up against the right tackle. I will be very interested to watch that, and just, you don't have to stop TJ Watt. You just need to, you just want to slow him down enough. You just want to win enough battles that it doesn't destroy the offense.
Yep. I think that is a great thing for everyone to keep in mind going into the weekend, because that is something that we have not. Because you said a sentence in there that I mostly agree with, which is that it ends up coming down to Ben Roethlisberger. Because, and this is something that I've said as an argument against the Steelers keeping this close. I know I've said this on this show before. The Chiefs have lost games to good teams, and those good teams have taken the Chiefs' mistakes, self-inflicted or forced, and it's been plenty of both. They've taken those mistakes and they have turned them into points. They have turned them into punishment for the Chiefs. I think to that exact point, TJ Watt, Minka Fitzpatrick, and Cam Hayward, these guys could all have big games. They could even create some turnovers. But unless Mecole Hardman muffs a punt and Byron Pringle loses a kick return, if those turnovers are happening deep in Steelers territory, that's a very different deal. Because now they're driving 95 yards instead of 5. That is where I do think the offense and their shortcomings are impacting even the defensive playmakers that they really just laid out there.
Alex Highsmith is the other linebacker. He has 6 sacks on the year. He's the TJ Watt clone.
It's a really good front.
Yeah.
It's a really good front 4, maybe front 7. I don't
and
know.
Six
it's a good
may
defense.
Not seem like a lot, but when you have one guy who's 22 and a half, another guy who's 10, 6 is like, you know what I mean? There's just
your
only,
third
there's
guy
so
has
many
6 sacks.
There's only so many sacks out there. And actually he's 4th with 6. Chris Wormley, their defensive tackle, is 7.
Give me their top 4 sackers there, like, real quick.
TJ Watt, 22.5. Cameron Hayward, 10. Chris Wormley, 7. Alex Highsmith, 6. And then they have a handful of guys with 2 and 1.
Trying to get the Chiefs page to load here. Again, these are not instructive stats, but for that particular thing.
Melvin Ingram's tied for, I guess, like 7th with 1 sack.
Chris Jones has 9. Frank, that'd be good for 3rd on the Steelers.
Yes.
Again, this is, please hear us very clearly. This is not the way to judge pass rushers. It's just a counting stat that I think is kind of helpful for some of these exercises. Do not hear me say that that Chris Jones would be the 3rd best pass rusher on the Steelers. That's not true. He'd be 1 or 2, and not many teams would even force that question. But Chris Jones has 9. Frank Clark has 4.5. Derek Nnadi and Mike Dana both have 3. Jaron Reed has 2.5. And then it's 2s and 1s and 1s and 1s. And then Willie Gay has a half sack. That, I do like that as a reminder that group of Steelers pass rushers there, or, you know, all around defensive linemen, they're not all pure pass rushers.
Yeah.
That, I think, is at least a nice little, it is a bumper sticker on the analysis. But hey, don't forget, honk if your team has 4 guys that can actually get after the quarterback. Steelers can hit that button. The Chiefs also legitimately could make an argument that Frank Clark, Chris Jones, Melvin Ingram, and either Derek Nnadi or Jaron Reed, or maybe even Tershawn Wharton, can all get there, but it's different. It's different. Here's my angle. And I'm not going to couch it ahead of time. I'll justify it after the fact. One way that the Chiefs could ultimately handed this game over unexpectedly is if they have one of their games where it just all seems sort of flat. And that doesn't mean that guys aren't necessarily locked in. It doesn't necessarily mean that the play calling, they're using vanilla play calls or whatever. It might just be a couple of drops, or Patrick Mahomes misses by a foot on a shot that could have gone for 45 yards, or they do punt it on 4th and 6 from midfield, which they will do again if it happens again. But the defense just lets Najee Harris get by once and he houses it. Or Chase Claypool gets open in space and Roethlisberger hits him. How about an early special teams penalty? A muffed punt.
That doesn't happen.
That doesn't happen to the Chiefs, of course. A fumble entering the red zone, and then even if the Steelers just punt it back to you, that really took the wind out of your sails. Much less a game where there's the turnovers or the drops that turn into interceptions and all of that. I mean, I'm talking about even like kind of mid-level stuff that just makes you say, this game isn't a disaster, but this game is flat, like a flat soda. You know, it's just somebody left a cap off of this and left it out in room temperature, and it's been there for 2 days, and I'll have a sip, and you know what? I'm just not really enjoying this. I don't want to keep drinking this. Now begins the couching, I guess, before some of the angle here. I don't expect that to happen with the Chiefs. Okay, that's the caveat. I don't expect that to happen in the first round of a playoff game. But it happened literally 5 days ago. 6, I guess, now. Last week, that did happen. And you could say, well, it was against the Broncos. They didn't really have much to play for. It was weird, and the field was weird. And I would say those things are valid, but I also could tell you, what if they would have won that game in a blowout, what would you say? You'd say, wow, they went in and they did it against a divisional opponent, and they took that bleep personal. They laid them out. It doesn't matter. They didn't play down to the level of their competition. They went and said, we're going to blow this team out that we see all the time. You mentioning earlier that eventually this is all going to come down to Ben Roethlisberger. It didn't all come down to Drew Locke. He was not good. He was 12 of 24 for 162 yards. His best plays seemed like they all came on the ground. They ran the ball pretty well, especially with the long carry from Melvin Gordon. And they could have won that game without Melvin Ingram blowing up Melvin Gordon in the backfield and having it turn, not just blowing up the backfield, turning it into points of their own. That game was close to being a disaster. It was not a playoff game, but it was a Saturday game, the only game on in the NFL at that time. All eyes in football were on that game, and the Chiefs could not have won the one seed there, but they needed that win to stay and play for it. Again, I don't think that this is like a big systemic thing. I'm telling you that Andy Reid can't get his guys ready anymore, because that sucks. What I am saying is that we shouldn't pretend that it is just a flip switch, that it's just a cord you pull to start a lawnmower. Because I don't know. Look, and also, in this game, they came out firing early on that first 15. That first offensive drive was great, and they did not do a lot of scoring the rest of the game.
It looked like they were going to blow that team out.
Yep.
And
also intensity, focus, whatever, out of the gate. They had it at the beginning of the game.
And this is the weird thing about just all sports in general, right? Like, if Zane Anderson doesn't have the roughing the kicker penalty,
yep,
right? Do the Chiefs score a touchdown, it's 14-0, and then they're winning that game 35-14, right? If Nick Bolton doesn't return that ball for a touchdown, yeah, the Chiefs have the ball, but maybe they don't score points,
yep,
and the Broncos end up winning that game, because then they just go right back down and do what they did on the previous drive, but they don't turn the ball over.
That hit was 2nd and 2 on the 9.
Yeah.
That would have made it 2nd and 5 or 6, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But if Melvin Ingram just... I finally did it.
Okay.
If Melvin Gordon holds on to the football, the Broncos have a shot right there to make it 20... I'm trying to gauge when these points all got counted here. That would have made it 28-20 Broncos instead of it being 28-21 Chiefs, because they went for 2 there. Yeah, it was 21-20 at that point. The Broncos were in the red zone with a chance to make it an 8-point, or if they wanted to get real nuts with it, a 9-point game.
They weren't going to.
They would not have. It would have been an 8-point game, which would have been fine. I wouldn't have wanted to risk it being a 7-point game isn't that big of a difference, but they probably would have kicked the field goal and make it 8. 8 makes sense. It's like a possession and a half, right? You know,
no, the Broncos might have been like, hey, like, we're really not playing for anything here.
Yeah.
Let's be a little. We're not playing for anything other than just a chance to beat the Chiefs at the end. Let's go crazy.
They could have been up by 8 points there by playing it safe. If they complete a pass or have one nice run, obviously no guarantee there. Maybe they kick the field goal. I don't know. Make it 24-20. That would have been frustrating. But also, just from a coaching perspective, but also would have put them up by more than a field goal. So the Chiefs have to go score a touchdown. Whatever it would have been. There's a great chance the Chiefs still win the game from that point. But in a, like, just unfun performance from Drew Locke, there were a couple of moments, but a Broncos passing game there that did not scare you against a defense that definitely has some real players on it, but didn't feel like it was smothering. The Chiefs were what if the Broncos just recover the fumble? The Chiefs were the bounce of a football away from playing against the Broncos from behind as the game was going to wind down. They were behind late. And so, I do think that they will come out hot enough and that they will play well enough and they will not be pulling any punches in this game or anything. I think they will do all of that well enough to actually not have the Steelers hanging around into the fourth quarter. I do think that if they make mistakes, the Steelers will not be able to fully punish them for them. But I don't think that's something you should take as an absolute guarantee when a week ago we saw them struggle with it. Lots of differences, a few similarities.
I think one thing, too, just even like add on to that, like I feel like you hear it said, and it's a very common broadcaster phrase, like anytime, especially when you have one team who is vastly superior playing another team, and you always hear the, well, hey, man, they're just kind of letting them hang around.
Yep.
And the more you kind of do that, whether it's you're only up by three or you're down by three or four, whether it's the Chiefs come out just not fully like ready to go, or whether they do come out ready to go but just make mistakes that kind of let drives go on, the more game is close, the more you might start to press, right?
Yeah.
And like that's when then you can just start make right, like that's how that can spiral out of control. If the Chiefs don't come out fully ready or just again like a couple of players, because again I would say against the Broncos, Chiefs came out like 99% of those players came out ready, and then a rookie made a rookie mistake.
Who and, also almost certainly came out ready.
Yes.
He just made a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it just, and right, and then we've seen that from, especially, and I hate, like, we've seen this Chiefs offense, especially Patrick Mahomes evolve. I think it's one of those deals where, I feel like I've said this a million times, like, Patrick Mahomes is a better quarterback now than he is in 2018. Even though he did not throw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns, it's clear he's better. He is progressing as a quarterback. I think we've really seen that this year. Earlier in the year, I think he pressed a lot because it was, I need to make plays. We really haven't seen that from him a lot lately. It's, you know, like since they went on the winning streak, there has been more of that take what you can. But this is the playoffs now, and there is more urgency to win. If they are, again, if they come out a little flat or they just are making mistakes, you can start to press. And that's where you can maybe see Patrick Mahomes. Like, remember the interception, I think it was against the Washington. It was maybe the worst throw we've ever seen him make.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, right? Maybe that happens. I don't think it's going to happen, but that's how you can get to those moments, is by letting a team who you're clearly better than stay in the game, and then you start to press.
I would just tack on something in addition to that. If you leave that door open for a long enough time, you know what else can happen? Weird bleep.
Yep.
Just weird bleep.
Just even a bad call.
Yes. Yes.
We saw this with Cincinnati.
Yep. Sure did.
Chiefs were up. Chiefs handled Cincinnati for most of the first half. They let them get back in the game in the second half. And then on that last drive, you know, we're obviously plenty of complaints about the last drive. You know, missed calls, bad calls. But the Chiefs should have also just never been in that situation to begin with. You know how you prevent yourself from being in a situation where the refs can potentially change a game? Don't get into a situation where they can.
Be
you
up by 20.
That from happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that you can't do that to everybody.
Of course.
Easier said than done. You play the Packers in the Super Bowl. You play the Chargers. You play the Bills. Titans, they're good football teams out there that it's hard to get up by a lot. Pittsburgh's not one of those teams.
And if they are, something has gone wrong at that point.
Or Ben Roethlisberger, just, you know, his wife got some, you know, HGH for herself.
Right. Not just for her.
Just for her.
Just for her own personal use.
She, maybe Ben Roethlisberger's wife and Peyton Manning's wife are big friends, are very tight. I don't know.
That didn't stick to Peyton Manning at all, by the way.
No.
There was like an, wasn't like an Al Jazeera report of like, hey man, you guys all remember when Peyton Manning's neck was like fused together? Which, by the way,
that got swept under the rug real fast.
Real fast. And look,
I'm all right with it.
I might have a little bit of skepticism in many for people who use PEDs as performance enhancers. If, and this is impossible to litigate, I understand. Please nobody lecture me on this. But if there's a legitimate argument that, like, yeah, I started taking HGH because I play football and my neck was hanging off by my own spinal cord. Like, that was the only thing left remaining there. I was a disembodied head. Fine!
That's cool.
We're going to watch Peyton Manning play football for a little longer.
Yeah.
Fine! If any football player, here's honestly, if any professional football player ever, and I don't know, maybe anyone with pain was like, yeah, what I did to feel better was this thing that isn't obnoxiously dangerous or illegal. They'd be like, yeah, cool, man. Awesome. Football is hard. These dudes hurt all the time, obviously. We talked about this with Andrew Luck a couple days ago.
Dude's still in pain.
And this goes back to me thinking
that football in like 30 years, it feels like.
It really does feel like that was a different era completely. I remember where I was when I heard that news. I was in the sauna at the Sonic across the street.
It was wild.
I thought it was a joke. I thought it was a parody account. This goes back to me thinking that Andrew Luck just needs to have either a weed or a CBD company at some point in the near future, because I think he'd be such a fun spokesman for it, because he sort of seems like he might be a little bit toasted all the time, but it's just Andrew. It's just him, right? Like, that's, I mean that as a compliment. He seems like a good dude to hang around with.
Yes, it is a good, like, he's always pretty, pretty chill, pretty happy, just like seems very stress-free most of the time.
You know, there's like the Twitter meme or Twitter just like trend that will go around every once in a while, or just you'll see a picture of like four or five famous people that seem cool all together, and someone will just tweet like "Dream Blunt Rotation." Yeah. I think that with current or recent or former NFL quarterbacks, I think Andrew Luck has to be in that to be in that category. It can be your look, man. It can be your dream
Andrew
whiskey
Luck.
Rotation or whatever. I don't care.
Cool Joe,
as they all call him.
I mean, you're going to have a circle. Got to have Cool Joe there. He's just strumming a guitar, just being all cool.
Gardner Minshew is there.
Of course. Maybe Baker? Baker seems pretty fun.
I feel like if your name is Baker, you have to be. You have to be on that level. His name is Baker. Did he win the most prestigious award in college football for an individual player?
Heisman?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Baker Heisman. That man is involved in the circle. Sorry, I needed you to say the word.
Heisman.
Heisman.
I didn't get it the first time you said Baker Heisman, but I get it now.
Not only has this show been good, Rudy and I have both had jokes so good that the other person didn't get to them at first, and we got to explain them a second time. It's because Heisman sounds like high man.
High man. He's a very high man. He ran from cops.
That's also true. I don't know that marijuana was involved. Seems kind of unlikely,
to be
honest.
I think it was like underage drinking, I think. That's technically. I think he was like 20 and he had beer on him.
Just all over him. He just soaked in it. He's like, I wasn't even drinking it, man! Somebody dropped it on me! What? That doesn't make any sense. Wait a second. Your name's Baker? No, come on. You're coming with us. The first segment, we got lost in the weeds. In this segment, we got lost in the... Let's take a break.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
We talk about cocaine on this show a lot.
Almost entirely cocaine.
Oh, man, I wish.
With Joshua Briscoe.
No, man, listen. You know how I know that I can't have a cocaine habit? I don't have cocaine money.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I feel most at home doing this show whenever I feel like we're doing it for the people that really like this show. Like, that's a very, very genuine thing in my soul. But I do wonder occasionally what people think who don't necessarily frequently listen to this show think whenever they tune in, and it's like, just like there's been a lot, like that last segment of this segment now has been a lot of various drug mentions. I wonder what people think of my brand. Anyway.
Religious type.
Listen, man, I was the Holy Trinity at one point. Pastor's kid, homeschooled, and worked at Chick-fil-A.
Had it all.
I really did, and I threw it all away. Here is from Bartman on Twitch. I'm so used to listening to you at 1.5 speed. You sound like you're in slow motion real time, which would definitely go better with Drew Locke gummies, which is pretty funny. I can't imagine listening to this show on 1.5 speed. I listen to podcasts on 1.5 speed, and it makes me talk faster, I think.
You should listen to this podcast at half speed.
From BTM, could you imagine smoking a blunt with Philip Rivers? Nightmare blunt rotation, question mark. We got to work on that at some point. I don't even know what that's all going to get to,
Cole
but
Beasley.
Like, well, there's other contents of his lungs that I would be slightly more worried about, I think, but we'll talk about that later, I guess.